In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast. Today is the feast of the saints of North America. Today we celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit in this new land, and it is still a new land. We celebrate the men and the women and the children whose love for Christ shines brightly in the darkness. Some of them we know. Think of St. Herman or St. Innocent. Blessed Olga of Alaska, names that we hear at the end of every service. And there are many whose names we don't know. The nameless saints known only to God. And it doesn't take long, but if you spend any time in an Orthodox church, you quickly learn that many of our saints have a very special connection to the state of Alaska. And Orthodoxy in Alaska is very different from Orthodoxy here in most of the lower 48 states. Here we struggle to be visible. Orthodox Christians here in the lower 48 are a teeny weeny minority. Not so in Alaska. The statistics are always very impressive. Alaska has about 750,000 people. And if you look only at the OCA parishes, only at the parishes of the Orthodox Church in America, you will find that the number of OCA parishes alone in Alaska is 94. Forget about the Greeks and the Russians and the Serbians and the other 14 sister churches. Just the OCA, 94 parishes. It helps to put that into perspective. Our home, the greater Boston area, has about 4.5 million people. Our region of New England has about 14.5 million people. So let's do the math. 94 Orthodox parishes in Alaska is the same as 1,850 parishes in New England. If Boston were as Orthodox as Alaska, we would have 475 Orthodox parishes. 475. Guess what? In the OCA, we do not have 475 parishes in the Boston area. We have five. We used to have six. One of them closed 2 years ago. And even if you include all the other Orthodox jurisdictions, the Greeks, the Antiochians and the Serbians and the Ukrainians and the Russians, even if you do all of that, the number of Orthodox churches in the Boston area rises only to 50. 50. 50 is still a lot smaller than 475. To catch up with Alaska, here in Boston alone, just in Boston, the OCA would have to open up 470 new churches. Alaska is so very Orthodox. Where we live is not. Why is that? Well, to put it bluntly, Orthodoxy was not offered to Boston in the same way that it was offered to Alaska. Here in the Northeast, the Orthodox Church arrived in that very American way with its immigrants. The immigrants would arrive from Orthodox countries and they would bring with them their bishops and their priests. The Greeks brought the Greek church, the Russians and the Ukrainians brought their Slavic churches, and the Serbs and Romanians and Antiochians, they all brought also churches from home. And the purpose was to maintain some of what they knew. Being an immigrant is scary. It still is. You lose so much. And the church reminded them, it simply reminded them of culture and history and family heritage, of all those wonderful good things. But something interesting happened. The immigrants here in the States became more and more American, but in many cases, the church did not. The expectation, in fact, was that the church would not change. The language and the customs, so familiar and warming and of value to us. All of church life was something to be honored and preserved. They were reminders of how things were from the place that created us, even when those places were no longer familiar and remembered by the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of those who did first arrive, those first immigrants. This is not the experience in Alaska. This is the difference. When Orthodoxy arrives in Alaska in 1794, the missionaries sent by the Russian church desired to take care of Russian Christians. Yes, absolutely. But more importantly, they wanted the church to spread to North America. They did not want Alaska to become Russian. They wanted the church to become Alaskan. And what they understood, so critical in the task of spreading the gospel, what they understood was that to baptize people, you have to baptize the culture as well. You have to baptize the whole person, the way they think, the way they live, the way they see the world around them. And so with St. Hermann and the first missionaries, the goal was not to bring Orthodoxy to America. The goal was not to bring Orthodoxy to Alaska. The goal was to bring all of Alaska into the Orthodox Church. The sacred liturgies and the services and the prayers of Orthodox worship were all translated into several local Alaskan languages. They created new melodies based on Alaskan music. Even the children could sing and understand the church prayers. The same was done with Holy Scripture. And not only did the missionaries seek to speak and to worship in the local languages, the missionaries learned to speak the culture as well. Over decades, they learned about life in the Arctic. They learned about its animals and its plants. We still have the manuals written by Saint Innocent. Over decades, people lived. Rather, the missionaries learned how people lived, how the people survived, how they thought about the connection between Earth and Heaven, how the people there in Alaska thought about the connection between human beings and all of creation. Saint Hermann and Saint Innocent made Orthodoxy make sense to Alaskans. And most of all, the missionaries loved the people. The missionaries, in some cases, gave up their own lives to protect the Alaskans from abuse and exploitation. Those first traders and those first businessmen from the old country, they wanted to steal from Alaska. The Orthodox missionaries, they said no. They defended the weak and the powerless. They loved the people, and in many cases, they died for the people. In Alaska, the church was adjusted in holy and reasonable ways to win the people, not to conquer them and to keep them. The result is that the faithful in Alaska have remained Orthodox. Their children and grandchildren, and I have met great-great-great-grandchildren, that did not leave the church. Even though other Christian groups came in and tried to persuade the Alaskans to give up that faith first brought by missionaries. And so Alaska is the great example of what happens when you take the faith that has been given to us, the faith that has been given to us by our fathers and mothers, and you plant it and you allow it to soak in the rain and the light and the warmth and the rich soil of the new place where you are. The result is a new vineyard that makes new grapes and new wine. And as Christ says, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. If you put new wine into old wineskins, the wineskins crack and burst, and everything is spilled. When the church spreads, when its missionaries move to new places, the church changes too. The church becomes a new and saving wineskin to hold all the new wine brought forth by the Holy Spirit from its new vineyard. Brothers and sisters, the OCA has to build 470 churches in the Boston area to catch up with Alaska. And then we need to go on and build another 1,800 churches in New England. Let the other dioceses take care of themselves. And this may sound impossible, but it is not. It is not impossible. The church is enlivened by the Holy Spirit. The good news of Jesus Christ is a saving gospel that people hunger for. And the work accomplished by the first missionaries in North America is still the work which Christ sets before us. What does it look like to love those we are called to serve? What does love look like in Salem and in Peabody and in Lynn and the North Shore and New Hampshire? What is the culture that we must learn? How do we preach to struggling families? How do we preach to neo-pagans? How do we translate the gospel so that people hear it as a gospel for today? For our world right now, as crazy as it is. How do we make the cross make sense to Americans who can order anything on their iPhones? Guilty as charged. First, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Love the place where you stand right now. Receive the bounties of Christ at this liturgy. Be full of love and mercy and joy, believing and trusting in the good news that Jesus Christ has trampled down death by death and that he has overcome the devil. Trust that in Christ there is victory over darkness and evil. Trust that the Holy Trinity is hard at work in this world, not just to win the war, for the war has already been won. Trust that the Holy Trinity is hard at work in this world to win each and every single little battle, every one, to help us choose the goodness and love and light of God over brokenness and despair and hatred. So first, take heart and rejoice in the Lord. Do not be discouraged. But second, travel lightly. Like those first missionaries to Alaska and like the fishermen from Galilee called by Christ this morning, we have to ask ourselves, what have we given up to follow Jesus? What are the nets and the boats in our own lives that we need to leave behind to serve the Lord in Salem and on the North Shore? What do we need to leave behind so that we might share the good news? We are missionaries to the local tribes on the North Shore. What holds us back? What keeps us from baptizing all of life and all of culture here? Are we scared of outsiders? Are we scared of taking risks and helping the poor as we're commanded to? Do we like our rules more than we like the risks? Do we like being invisible? Do we like our liturgies and quiet Sundays? Do we like our familiar patterns of mere survival? Father Alexander Schmemann reminds us, the only reason the church should ever choose to change, the only reason the church should ever choose to change is so that it might remain the same. The timeless message of the church is that Jesus Christ saves. Christ is a redeemer who establishes his kingdom, first in the church and throughout all of creation. The timeless message is that through the cross, joy has come into all the world. This gospel is the beating heart of holy tradition. And if the world around us cannot hear this timeless message, the church must always change so that it can. The church changed and baptized all of Alaska. And the church is waiting to do the same in Salem. The church is waiting for us to drop our nets and to become those fisher of men. Joyous feast.